Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our scripture today comes from 2 Timothy verses 2-7. And it says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything."
Thank you, Steph. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this new day, Lord God. We thank you that we can come together as a family and hear from you. That you would speak to each and every one of us this morning, Lord God. And I pray, Father, that as we enter your presence this morning, Father, attune our eyes and our ears to you, Father. May you be glorified. May you speak to us the word that is in season for each and every one of us, Lord God. We're all on different stages in our journey towards you. And so speak to us, Lord God, this morning. You know us, and we're here to know more about you and experience you. So we thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty, wonderful name. And all the mighty saints say, amen. Amen. Okay, so this morning, you know, who was encouraged by that video that we watched from, you know, from the Philippines, right? So good. You know, that's our church family in the Philippines. And so one thing that stuck out for me as I was watching that video was when he said, you know, that they're not seen as a religion, but as relationship, right? God is about relationship. And I hope that you capture the heart that, you know, even when stuff goes wrong, God's heart is that the church would step up, just like in their situation, right? But it's not always about just in those moments of crisis that the church steps up. It's in the moment of everyday life that God wants the church to step up as well, right? In the moments of our everyday life. And so I'm really encouraged. I'm really looking forward to what God is going to speak through us, through me this morning to all of us, okay? So we're diving into God's mission. And so this is God's mission. This is God's mission for us as Every Nation Logan. But we're also going to be looking into what that looks like, right? The DNA of God's mission for us. And so we're going to be looking this morning. I'm going to be looking at some values and our mission, our vision statement. Okay, so this is the vision statement for us here in Every Nation Logan. So if we can all read this together, because I know you have all memorized this, right? And so let's read this together, okay? Every Nation Logan is part of the Every Nation family of churches and ministries that exist to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches and campuses, ministries in every nation. Yes, that is our vision. And our values are these four, okay? So these are our values as a church. So we have worship. Worship is, you know, seeing it more than, worship is not just a song that we sing, okay? Worship is a lifestyle that we live, okay? It's how we live our lives. Our whole lives should be as worship unto God. Everything that we do, everything that we say, how we conduct ourselves, that is worship. We have family. We believe here that, you know, the value of family, why we value family is because family is important to God. God works through families. God works through the generations. And so, as a, yes, your biological family, that's important, but you're part of a spiritual family as well. And I hope that we will get to see that as important as well, being part of a spiritual family. And then we have outreach, right? We believe that God is not just, you know, given just for us, right? To hold and just, you know, oh, yes, I have Jesus. No, it's to be shared. And it's to be, you know, he is to be told, you know, God has given his son Jesus for us to share with people around us. Okay? And that's the heart behind outreach. reaching someone, telling someone about what Jesus is doing, has done, and is continuing to do in and through our lives. Okay, and then the last one is discipleship. And so discipleship is this. Here's the value. This is the one we're going to be talking about today. Okay, and so this is the what discipleship value is. Okay, so it's we are committed to Christ's commission for us to make disciples. We aim to be disciples of Jesus and make disciples by engaging in the culture of our city with the gospel, establishing and equipping these disciples of Christ in their journey with God, and releasing these Spirit-empowered leaders to be a Christ-like influence. So the title of my message today is Valuing Discipleship. Okay, valuing discipleship. So, thank you to Steph for reading that passage this morning. So what do we know about 2 Timothy? This is a letter that's written from Paul to his spiritual son Timothy, who was on assignment in Ephesus. This is like Paul's final letter to Timothy, and he's writing it from prison. He's in prison in Rome in this particular moment. And so Paul knows that it's getting closer to a time where, because he's in Rome, he's on trial, and he knows that the end for him is coming soon, because things are not working out in his court hearing, right? The things are not looking good. And so he sees that, you know, this is going to be the end of his life. And so he wanted to write this letter to Timothy to encourage him. And so who was Timothy? We first met Timothy in the book of Acts in chapter 16. And according to Acts 16 verses 1 to 3, it says, Timothy was this young man from Lystra, a city in the region of Galatia. And so his mother is Eunice, and his grandmother is Lois. And they were both believers. But his dad was a Greek. He didn't believe. And so it's likely that Timothy had grown up being taught the Jewish, you know, the Jewish way from his mother and his grandmother. And so in Acts 16, Paul is on his second missionary trip around the area that he was going to, and he comes to this place, Lystra, where Timothy is at. And this is where Paul meets Timothy. And according to Acts 16:1, it says, Timothy was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. And so he's this young man, he's serving in the church. He's helping out in the ministry. This is Timothy. And this stands out for Paul. Paul sees this as, man, that's a young kid who's on fire, right? He's serving. And so Paul takes him on his mission trips now. And so they go traveling around various places to strengthen the churches in the region. And then at some point, Timothy is believed to be ending up in Ephesus, looking after the church there, while Paul ends up in prison in Rome, where he's writing this letter from in 2 Timothy. And so we pick up in chapter 2, verse 1, that Steph read out, and it says this, "So you, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And so the first thing I want us to see here is this, Paul saw Timothy as his spiritual son. So relationship is important to Paul, right? Relationship is important to him. You know, they were not related biologically, but they were related spiritually, right? Through Jesus. Now, I'm sure that you've heard this before, that discipleship is relationship, right? You've heard that before, right? Discipleship is relationship. So there is this importance of having this connection with someone on the journey towards Jesus. So the Apostle Paul here is encouraging his spiritual son, Timothy, to be strong, to be strengthened in the grace, or by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's what he's telling him. And so we recognize that the grace given to Timothy through this is the source of his ability to make disciples. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, it says this, And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. So this grace comes from God. This grace comes from God. God is generously providing all that we need to do, right? He is the source of this. And God has called us to do works, do stuff in our community, in our workplaces, in our families. And he enables us and empowers us to do this. I like what John Piper says in an article about grace, about what grace is. And he says this: grace is not only a disposition or a quality or an inclination in the nature of God, but it is an influence or a force or a power or an acting of God that works in us to change our capacities for work and suffering. It is the work of grace that is in Christ Jesus that can shift our perspectives, that can change our ideas, how we see things, how we see people, right? How we see the community around us. It is the grace that is in Christ Jesus that can do this. About how we see the people in our community, how we see the people in our families, the people around us. Grace needs to be working and transforming in our own hearts first. It needs to be evident in our own lives first. So that our strength is drawn from that place that we're talking about, right? That place where it's a transformed heart. From that place where it's a life that has been changed. We're a new creation in Christ, right? That's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us. This new perspective from the Christ-centered life. That is the deep work of grace in our hearts that should empower us to walk out all that God has for us. So it's not just because of Paul's expectations on Timothy or Timothy's own, you know, his capacities, right? It's not about Timothy's skills that he has, his abilities, his knowledge of things. But it's by the grace that is in Christ Jesus that he is strengthened. That we can be strengthened. So we too should find this strength purely in the grace of Jesus that comes from the Holy Spirit. And so I think a question for us then is this: are we being strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus? Are we being strengthened by it? Us as an individual. You know, are you being strengthened by the grace in Christ Jesus? Or are you relying on yourself? Are you relying on what you know? Are you relying on your knowledge? Maybe you're relying on a relationship. Maybe you're relying on your wife, your husband, or your kids, right? Are we being strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus? In verse 2, it says this: and what you heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be competent to teach others as well. And so here, Paul is giving Timothy specific instructions on how to pass on these teachings, right? How to pass on these teachings of the gospel to people. And the key words are entrust to faithful people. Remember that discipleship is relationship, right? That's what I said at the beginning. Discipleship is relationship. So Paul is encouraging Timothy to take what he has learned from him and pass it on to others. Have relationship with those people. Get to know them. Get to know where their heart is. You know, get to know what is it that motivates them, right? And when we get to know them, then we'll get to find out, this person can be trustworthy, right? This person can be trusted with this. Because if we were to just give it to anybody, you know, the first person who walked through the door, we'd be like, oh yeah, hey, you know, this is, how do we know that they're going to take this and teach it to someone else? How do we know that they're going to take this and teach someone else? We don't, right? Unless we build that relationship with them. Unless we get to know
them. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy to take what he has learned from him and to pass it on to others, to entrust it to faithful people who will be able to teach it to others as well. This is the call to discipleship. This is disciple-making disciples. And the building up of future leaders. Not just to be here in church, but to be leaders out there in the community, in the workplaces, right? We're not just trying to build leaders so that we can have a nice, awesome church here. We want to build leaders so that they can be awesome representatives of Christ out there in the world. In your families, we want great leaders to be leading our families. We want great leaders to be leading our businesses, in our community, in our schools, right? This is how we build leaders for the generations, by passing this on to the next generation, entrusting it to faithful people who will in turn teach others. So this is the model that Paul's teaching us here, right? Paul teaches Timothy. Timothy teaches others. Then others teach others, right? If you look at that, we're seeing like four generations there. Four generations of leaders being developed, being trained, learning the ways of Christ. But I'm sure you've seen instances, or you have personally, because I know I've personally gone through these moments, these seasons in my own life where for some reason I don't feel like discipling someone. Right? Or maybe you know someone who, you know, you sowed into them, you taught them, you wanted them on this journey, but then they didn't go tell anyone else, right? We know people like that, right? Maybe we were like that at some point in our own lives. What can happen is when we disciple people like that is that they can forget. They can forget, or they have forgotten the purpose of what Jesus came into this world to do, right? A simple way of remembering what Jesus came into this world to do is in Luke 19:10. It says, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And so when we're in this place of just learning, but we're not doing anything with it, that can get quite self-centered, right? Because it's all about me, right? People can get focused on just growing themselves, but not growing with others. People can get so good at feeding themselves that they don't feed others. People can enjoy walking with themselves, and yet they don't want to walk with others. Discipleship is relationship. It's when we're walking with people, building with people, eating with people, hanging out with people. When we are on the discipleship journey and we don't share this with anyone else about this new life that we have, what can happen is that we can become inactive, right? We can become even disconnected because there's no outflow of what we're taking in. There's no outflow of it. There's no application of what we're learning. I like the Dead Sea, right? The Dead Sea is an apt analogy for people that who don't use what they have. Now, if you're familiar with the Dead Sea, it's located in Israel, between Israel and Jordan, and it's this saltwater lake that is so salty that it doesn't sustain any life. Nothing lives in it because it's so salty. It's called the Dead Sea because there's no living organisms in it, right? The Dead Sea is fed by the Jordan River, but it has no outlet. So there's only one way in and no ways out. So as a result, the water in the Dead Sea becomes stagnant and doesn't flow anywhere else. And in the same way, when we don't use what we've learned, what can happen is that we become stagnant. We become inactive, right? But it like this. It'd be like us hitting a wall, right? When we come up, if we see that discipleship is all about me just learning, yes, I'm growing in Jesus, I'm growing towards Jesus and stuff. And it's like we come up to this wall, this place of where like, yes, is this all that is? I just learn, I just take this in, I just receive. You know, if that's all we see what discipleship is about, then we're going to hit that place called a wall. But I want to show you something, okay? Hopefully this won't go funny, okay? Okay, so let's just say this is the wall, okay? And this is my understanding of discipleship, is that I see this wall as this is all it is. It's just I just come here and I hang out with people and, you know, that's it. What am I supposed to do with it? We've got to be able to see it that discipleship needs to be a doorway. It needs to be a doorway that we walk through. Because when we see this doorway, there's a whole new world out there. A whole new world. You're right. But we've got to see it as a doorway. We've got to see this as the doorway to another person's life, another person's world. And that's what discipleship is. It's about opening this door, walking through this door, discovering their world, discovering what their heart is, discovering who they are. And you know, the best part of walking into a doorway like this is that they get to walk into our world as well. Right? They get to know us. They get to see us. Hopefully the real us. Right? Discipleship is relationship. So it's about this us building with people. It's about us being in the lives of each other, getting to know each other, even getting to know the quirks and funny things about us, right? And that's part of discipleship. We're learning, we're discovering about each other. But the most important thing about it, it's in context to what Jesus has for us, right? Jesus is the standard. Jesus is the blueprint for which we want to build our lives towards. And Jesus is encouraging us to build with people. Come to me with other people. Grow towards me with people around you, right? That is the beauty of discipleship. So please don't see this church as one that you just come and receive and then go back to your life. My hope and my prayer and the prayer of our leaders here is that you will see this house, Every Nation Logan, as a place where you can come and build relationally. Come and build with us. Come and build with the people in this room. Come and see how we live. Those were Jesus' regular words to his disciples, right? Come and see. Come and see. So if we're modeling our lives around Jesus, who are you inviting along to come and see? In your own life. In the life of Jesus. I hope that when you come into here, you're coming here with, you're wanting to learn. You're wanting to serve. You're wanting to be generous and give. You're wanting to build, and you're wanting, and I want this to be a culture for our church here, a culture of discipleship. I want this culture to be relationship, right? And I know, like for me, real talk, for me, I prefer to be by myself. But God has not called me to be by myself. Well, thank God he gave me my wife. Yeah. But we're not called to be by ourselves, man. And being able to walk towards Christ, towards God's plan, be working together in mission. You know, mission is not just about going overseas. Missions is being right here in our community, seeing what your neighbor's going through and being a missionary to your neighbor, right? That's your mission field. That's our mission field, right? And it's not to say that, you know, you don't have to jump on a plane and go somewhere. That's cool. That's missionary as well. But our first mission field is right in our home. How's our kids? How's our kids? Right? How's our marriage? How are we building our marriages, our families towards Christ? Right? And that's the journey that each and every one of us have to walk through. Right? But I hope that we come around others. I hope we don't try and figure it out ourselves. Because it can be hard. It can be hard trying to figure that sort of stuff out by yourself. Because you're limited to one head and one brain and one perspective looking at it, right? But when you have other people around you that can see wider than your view, that can see a different perspective from you, that can be helpful to us, right? Especially when we're all looking through the lens of the Bible, right? That's got to be the key part. Yes, we're walking together, but let's look through this through the lens of the Bible. What is the Bible saying about this, right? And so we keep each other accountable. We keep each other on the right track. And so think about this. How might we teach? How might we teach what we have learned in following Jesus? How might this look, right, in terms of teaching, learning about Jesus? Well, we have opportunities to excel, I call them, okay? So we have Foundation for Victory, and that's like a 12-week lesson where you get to discover the foundational pillars of a Christian life, right? There's also Making Disciples. Making Disciples is our course that will teach you as a life group leader how to prepare to take a life group lead, to take a life group, but also how to evangelize, how to reach someone, right? We also have Rise. We have our DNA class. Our DNA class is coming up at the end in a couple of weeks' time. And so if you want to find out more of who we are in terms of Every Nation Logan, put your name down. We'll have a sign-up form out there. Talk to one of our guest services or approach one of our leaders here, and we can get you connected with them. But probably the simplest way to teach what you've learned is through your testimony, right? Through your testimony. Telling how the story of how Jesus changed your life. And so, I guess, I think we borrowed this term from our Philippines family, right? The two-minute miracle. Two-minute miracle. That's where I first saw it on through a couple of videos about it from the Philippines. And it's just this creative way to be able to tell your story of how you met Jesus and how Jesus changed your life and how's your life now with Jesus. And it's a great tool to be able to have in your pocket to be able to say, you know, and you got to think this through, honestly, okay? Because if it's taking 40 minutes for you to tell your story, I guarantee that person's not going to want to listen to you ever again, right? So 2 to 3 minutes, what is your story about, right? And being able to tell it in such a way that the person will be able to, you know, it can be inserted into any conversation, into any context, right? It doesn't feel like awkward or, you know, or I know Jesus, right? No, you want to sort of, build it in such a way that, you know, you can talk about who Jesus is, like, you know, because he's a real person in your life. That's the revelation that you have. And so if you talk of Jesus as being, oh, he's some out there, like, dude, you're spooky, man, right? And so we got to be able to tell our story, our experience of Jesus in our own words. And so let me give you an example, okay? So I'm sure most of you have probably heard my testimony, okay? And so you can time me on this, all right? So 2 to 3 minutes, Henry. Okay, so you want to start your phones. Okay, so I grew up in church, right? My parents were very involved in Samoan church growing up, but I didn't have that same motivation as my parents to go to church every Sunday and Saturday for choir practices. And so I saw church more as a time for just hanging out and eating food with my friends. As I got older, my priorities shifted, and my friends, and sport became my priorities. That's what was important to me. And so I didn't smoke, I didn't do drugs, I didn't drink. Yeah, I was that quiet guy, yes, that little saint of a son, that it just never appealed to me, that sort of stuff. And so I went, there was one time my sisters were going to this church. They started attending this church in the evenings, and because we were still going to our morning services with our parents. And so in the evenings, we'll go to this church. And at this church, there was like, it was different. They had a band. They had singers. And the lights were off. It was like being in a concert, man. I was like, whoa, this is cool, you know? And I was like, I wasn't used to that. I didn't know church could be like that. But there was something different. There was something different when I was in that place. It was like there was this great sense of freedom and purpose in that environment. And I liked it. I liked it. And so about 3 or 4 months later, I had this moment where I was in the service and the man was speaking. And as he was talking, it was like he was talking to me. It was like he was talking about these questions, these things that I was thinking about in my own life. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's been reading my diary, right? And then I was like, oh, okay. And he was like encouraging us, you know, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And so I made a choice that night to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus. And I invited him. I invited Jesus into my life to live for his purpose, not for mine anymore. So there was this shift in me. Okay, this life isn't my own. It's representative of what God is wanting to do in and through me. So, okay, God, if this is your life, work through me, God. And that was my new perspective on this. And so I've been greatly blessed, right? I met my beautiful wife in that church. She was, just for the record, she was chasing me. I was focused on God. Okay, so yeah. You can find your loved ones in church. So make sure you're focusing on God. Okay? But you know, we got married there. We both served in youth ministry in that church, and we helped guide and disciple young people towards Jesus. We have been part of a church plant that brought us here to Australia as well. Jesus has blessed me with a beautiful family. We have two beautiful kids. And we're in a place right now where we get to walk alongside you beautiful people right here in Logan, honoring God, loving people, and seeing God's plan unfold in our community of Logan. So that's my testimony. What's yours, right? You know, what's your testimony? If you only had a couple of minutes to tell someone about it, what would it look like, right? What would you say Jesus has done in your life? How has he worked in and through you? What's changed about you, right? So, what can we learn from the Dead Sea? What can we learn? I'll take us back to this Dead Sea analogy, right? It's essential for us to use what has been given to us, to use what we've been taught, to learn to share this with others, to share this journey with the people around us. That's what I want us to see discipleship as. I don't want you to see discipleship as just a course that you're doing. I want you to see it as this is a journey where I get to go along with someone. I get to walk alongside someone I don't normally walk alongside with. But I'm going to get to know them on this journey. And I hope you see that that is the heart of discipleship, is relationship. Okay, let's keep going. Verse 2. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful people. Now the word entrust means to hand over or to deposit. and it implies a sense of responsibility and trust. Right? Timothy was being entrusted with these precious teachings. And it was his responsibility to pass this on to other reliable, trustworthy people. You know, that's why I'm so blessed to have, like, you know, we had Sister Steph here preach a couple of weeks ago, man. And also we had Norm preach as well. You know, for me, that's like, man, these guys, they're coming alongside and helping to carry the weight of preaching in our church. So they don't just bring their own personality, their own gift, but they also bring the truth when they speak. And so I'm really encouraged to be journeying along guys like that, or guys and gals like that. Okay? But I'm also thankful for all our leaders. I'm thankful for our life group leaders. I'm thankful for our volunteers. I'm thankful for everybody that makes this Sunday service happen. For the record, I do not do all of this by myself. Okay, I have a beautiful, servant-hearted group of people that come here early and do their thing and set all this stuff up. If I was to jump on their keyboard and start to play, you guys would be running out of the door. Seriously. Okay? I don't do that. That's not me. But we have Sister Kim who plays on there, right? So good. So good. Right? Because that's the way God's created her to be. That's the way God has crafted her to be. And so this is her way of, you know, serving in the house. This is the way of her being on the relationship journey with Jesus. So I hope that, you know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the people that I get to journey with here. And so I hope that, you know, you can join us, right? That you'll be able to come along with us on this journey. Because we're not about just being here. We're not about just being here on Sundays doing this. The real church happens from Monday to Saturday. That's the real church. Because hopefully you see this as a place. This is where you come to drink. This is where you come and get filled. This is where you come to get equipped. And then Monday to Saturday, that's you doing church in your families. That's you doing church in your workplaces. That's you doing church. If you're a stay-at-home mom and you got kids to look up, that's your church, right? This is just a gathering for all of us to come together and be encouraged and you know, encourage one another along, pray for each other. But real church happens Monday to Saturday. So I want to encourage us. Let's get around each other, right? Let's walk this out together. Is that all right? Okay. Is that all right with everyone? Is that okay? Here we go. Verse 3. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Verse 4. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. So here we see three occupations: a good soldier, an athlete, and a hardworking farmer. So in each of these examples, they're all dedicated, they're all disciplined, and they're all willing to pay the price to endure the hardships for the greater cause. Okay? Each of these occupations get this. So for the soldier, it's to win the battle, right? For the athlete, it's to win the race or to win the game. For the hardworking farmer, it's to produce a good harvest. Similarly, a good disciple of Christ is someone who's willing to be dedicated to follow Jesus, enduring the hardships, right? Because there's going to be challenges. To be disciplined and dedicated in the pursuit of the gospel. Paul encourages Timothy to join him in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. You know, there are going to be challenges that we'll go through. But a good soldier disciplined and dedicated to the cause. You know, you think about, Yeah, I talk about our family because it's my family. And we have challenges. Yes. We have challenges that we're going through. This is not perfect. But it's a learning thing that we're going through. It's about trying to understand each other. And how does God want us to work through this in our family? You know, firstly, in my marriage with my wife. And then in our relationship with our children, and in the way that we run our house. So we got to figure that out. It's not just on me, because God doesn't just speak to me. He speaks to my wife as well. And so trying to navigate through all this is part of the joy of relationship. It's part of the journey. How do you follow Jesus' orders, right? Because a good disciple of Christ follows the teachings of Jesus, right? He obeys his commands, and they seek to please God and do his will, just as a soldier seeks to please his commanding officer. So how do we follow Jesus' orders? Do we know what Jesus' orders are for us? That's God's mission for us. God's mission for us is to tell somebody about him. Who are we telling? Who are we talking to? Who are we building with? Who are we on this journey with? Right? Discipleship requires focus and dedication, just as being a successful athlete requires focus and dedication to their sport. I'm not a professional athlete. I've never been a professional athlete. I've always wanted to be a professional athlete. But it takes a lot. I'm sure it takes a lot, right? Right? I'm sure it takes a lot to be at that level and to stay at that level, right? My cousin over here, she's been at that level, right? And it's been a lot. It takes a lot. It's got to be disciplined. You got to be willing to pay the price. You got to be willing to do stuff that no one else is probably doing, when not what you're doing. Eat things that no one else is eating. Right? But that's part of the discipline. That's part of the journey. A good athlete trains and prepares himself for competition. Just like a good disciple of Christ must train and prepare themselves for the challenges that will come with following Christ. There's going to be challenges that will come with following Christ. There's going to be people who are going to say, talk to the hand, right? And we got to know, oh, okay. Am I going to say, oh, you want to put a hand? I'll put up my hands. Let's go. No, that's not Christ's way, okay? We're going to get people who are not going to be happy with us, who are not going to want to hear what we're going to say. But we need to learn. We need to strengthen within ourselves, okay? This is not about me. This is about Jesus. We need to find that place of security in him. Because if we're going to get offended, oh, what'd you say? You're not listening to me, bro. Let's go. Right? And that's not the way. Okay? You've got to be able to accept that not everyone's going to want to hear this message of Christ. Right? So it's not on us to change them. We're just telling our story. We're just telling the way Jesus has impacted your life, how he's changed you. And if they're going to listen to that, praise the Lord. And if they don't, praise the Lord. Right? But it's just sow their seed. Right? Sow their seed and leave it with them. What are we training? How are we training and preparing for what God has called us to do? How are we training? How are we reading? Are we reading God's word? Are we in prayer? Right? Are we around other people? Encouraging one another each day on what God's calling us to do. How are we preparing for what God has called us to do in our families and our communities? A hardworking farmer knows that a successful harvest requires hard work, patience, and persistence. They know the process. They must, they must prepare the soil. They must plant the seeds and tend the crops and care and attention, so that it will yield a fruitful harvest. farmer knows this. I don't know it. I just said it because that's what I said on Google. But a good farmer knows this process, and they do it. They work it out. They know what they need to do, how long they need to do this. And they are disciplined. They are dedicated to this process. In the same way, a good disciple of Christ must be diligent and hardworking in their faith. Reading our Bible once a month is probably not going to be very healthy for us. Right? If we want the Word to be living in us, we probably need to look at it daily. Because I know you. Like, we are bombarded from media, TV, everything that's around us, right? It's all going in through these two places here and through these two things here. All the messages of the world are going through those windows. So how are we filtering this? How are we able to filter this? Through the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about this? This is able to give us a lens to be able to see the world through. Sometimes if we take all that in, oh my goodness, it becomes blurry in how we see Jesus and how we're supposed to live it out in our own lives. So a good farmer is diligent and hardworking, just as we as disciples must be diligent and hardworking in our faith. Finally, Paul notes this. The farmer is the first to share the crops. Similarly, a good disciple of Christ must be willing to share the fruits of their faith with others through the acts of kindness and generosity and love. That is relationship. Being able to share what God has given to us. Right? Being able to share what God has given to us. Sharing it with others around us. We have been blessed to be a blessing to others around us. Amen? Amen? So, here's our discussion question. Okay? I want you to spend like 3 minutes, have a chat to the person next to you. Okay? Are you on the journey of being a disciple of Jesus? That's your first question. If you are, what is one challenge that you are going through right now? And if you're not, what is keeping you from becoming a disciple of Jesus? Okay? So have a chat with the person next to you. 3 minutes, and then we'll come back and we'll respond in God's Word together in worship. Is that cool? Okay.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.